Have you ever heard a musical artist described as having great chops? What does that mean? Well, the term chops is slang in the music business that refers to an artist that has developed great skills over time, whether they are a musician, composer, producer, or other titles associated with the music business. This is Scott Grimaldi, your host of Got Chops. Join me as I interview one musical artist per episode that I've had the pleasure of either performing, recording, or work with in my career. Plus, I'll be interviewing artists I've always wanted to speak with. We'll discover how each artist developed their chops, listen to their stories, and much more. This is Got Chops. My special guest artist for today is a recognized jazz clarinetist and vocalist from Los Angeles, California. That's her singing and playing the clarinet behind me on the song Where the Wild, Wild Flowers Grow from her quartet album, Cuddle Party. At a young age, my guest mastered the art of playing Dixieland and traditional jazz styles before working as a freelance musician in New Orleans for 4 years. While touring with Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox, she was also featured on 3 of their hit YouTube productions that collectively have received over 7.3 million views as of this interview. This jazz clarinetist and vocalist certainly got chops. Please welcome Chloe Fioranzo. Hi, Chloe. This is Scott from the podcast Got Chops. How are you?
Hi, doing great. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you so much for spending this time with me today. I'm looking so forward to speaking with you and introducing you to my listeners. And for my listeners right now on the phone from Los Angeles is my special guest artist for today, clarinetist and vocalist Chloe Fioranzo. Although I've never performed with her, I discovered her on Instagram and YouTube, including the various Postmodern Jukebox videos that feature her. The way I see it, Chloe plays as if she was transported from the traditional jazz and Dixieland era. And today we're going to find out how she developed those chops. So Chloe, thanks again so much for joining me here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
As an American jazz clarinetist and vocalist who also plays tenor saxophone and ukulele, what does the music slang Got Chops mean to you?
Oh, that's interesting. Usually chops is when you have a good amount of technique and ideas in your arsenal. That's usually been the definition for me. And for a lot of us growing up, they're like, oh, you know, this person has chops, or, you know, his chops are awesome. Or sometimes it's even, oh, my chops feel bad, which is basically when your embouchure or when your mouth just starts to go over the course of a gig. You know, or when your chops are just hurting after a long day of playing or something. So for me, it can be either one of those definitions.
As a clarinetist, I agree with you wholeheartedly, especially if you're playing extremely difficult classical excerpts or you're playing at the top of your range on the clarinet in Dixieland or traditional jazz.
I'm the response in call and response for a lot of the voicings when it comes to like trumpet melodies. Like the clarinet is either with the trumpet melody or answering to whatever they're saying within the band. Yeah, I've always, especially as a clarinetist who's done a whole bunch of different styles and especially like singer-songwriter stuff, like a lot of times my role is just to kind of embellish and decorate. I like to think of it as more as a musical decorator. Because we're the kind of the final finishing touches when it comes to a song or an album or something.
That's great. I couldn't agree with you more. Wow, great answer.
Thank you.
So I read that you were born in Rhode Island and grew up in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you currently live and work as a musician?
I currently live in Los Angeles, California. It wasn't always the case, but now I do.
What was the pivotal moment in your life when you knew you were going to devote yourself to the study of clarinet? And what was the inspiration to play jazz clarinet versus classical clarinet?
That is two great questions. And I can pinpoint it to an exact person, actually. There is this wonderful clarinetist called Ron Hockett, who used to play with the Jim Cullum Jazz Band. And he was my mentor for a time in high school. And at the time, I was only doing jazz on saxophone and classical on clarinet. I didn't want to do jazz on clarinet because I knew it was going to be a hard transition. And I was right, by the way. It was a hard transition. But he really pushed for me to do it, and he really encouraged me to do jazz clarinet specifically, not only with his playing, but also he's like, it's a great thing. Like, you're gonna do so much with it once you can unlock how to do jazz clarinet. And he was right. He was totally right. Now it's my main instrument, as much as saxophone is as well, but clarinet is the most I'll bring to any gig. It's always the one I'll bring first. You know what I mean?
That's great. Well, you certainly have mastered those chops there, you know, as a jazz clarinetist. I know how challenging that can be. And there's lots of guys that can play jazz. And when they go to the clarinet, it sounds like you're kind of being Michael Brecker on that. I don't really hear, right? You know what I'm talking about.
100%. And even they know that too. Like, that's the great part, is that usually a lot of the fellow saxophonists I know who like have to dabble in clarinet, they know how they sound, and they're totally fun about it. Like, it's great.
Right. And then they hear you play and they quickly pack up the clarinet. So who were some of the clarinet idols that you looked up to, including the swing, trad, jazz, and Dixieland players from the early 1920s, 30s, 40s?
If you want specifically that style, because honestly, the influences have been throughout the ages, not just the trad jazz. If you don't mind, I'll just say a list of my influences. I'll say Ron Hockett is my number one. Peanuts Hucko from the Eddie Condon Band was up there as well, because Ron Hockett was the one that introduced me to a bunch of Peanuts Hucko stuff. And he was a big influence. Obviously, Johnny Dodds. And as for more recent clarinetists, Eddie Daniels and Annette Cohen. Oh, Sabine Myers, the classical clarinetist. She's so great.
At what point in your life did you develop a practice plan that was aligned to your goals?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say it happened when I was younger, because that's when I really had a dedicated practice plan. It was definitely a result of the various like teachers and classes and things that I had, but also I was a very dedicated teenager, so that was where I think the lion's share of my growth happened, was like teenager up until college, early college age.
So what did your training regimen look like when you were younger?
I would always start out with long tones. I feel like for me, clarinet specifically, gaining a tone that's just listenable to is the most important thing for clarinet. It is so ideal to have a good tone, because it's so easy not to on that instrument. And for me, it was the most important thing to just to get a nice tone out of it. So I always, no matter what, always started every practice session with long tones, and then scales. And then, it would go into whatever piece, dissecting whatever piece I was working on, or like practicing my improv over stuff, or mostly like whatever piece or whatever improv exercises that I needed to do after scale work. And then I would And it would usually end with like some either transcribing or playing along to a record, which I feel like are both equal in my mind in terms of gaining the most out of it, because you can obviously, like, transcription will teach you the language, but also just playing along to the record, especially for trad jazz, where it's a community playing atmosphere, just being able to play along with whatever record you're going with will also teach you so much as well. So I usually ended with that.
Great answers. And I'm going to be playing this episode for my students that I constantly harp on. The first thing that you do, which you said before, which I loved, is you start with long tones.
Long tones, they're so important.
And I keep saying something. I have a catchphrase. It goes like this. It's not my way. It's the way it is.
Yes.
We're passing down a lineage.
Yeah.
You know, and you
it's
go.
It's true.
And you go into all the reasoning why you have to start with the long tones.
Long tones teach you how to control your instrument. And it teaches you each individual note of that instrument and how to control that. And it's the most important thing in my mind, even more so than scales. But scales obviously are very important. I think for me, especially with long tones, it was being able to sound each note how you wanted it to sound. And that's just so integral as a musician.
So speaking about practice, how much time do you spend nowadays practicing?
Not like I used to at all. A lot of times it's usually in preparation for a gig. And if I don't have anything to prep for, a lot of times I won't always do it because I have other things in my life that I prefer focusing towards. And so it just depends on the month and the time. Especially if you're a touring musician, you do not always get the time, which I learned very quickly on the road. Because in my early touring years, I tried to like sneak out to the van at like 2 a.m. in the hotel parking lot to practice. But then the demands of the road, it's not a sustainable thing on the road. So it melded into kind of a, not an everyday thing, but something to keep up stuff if I need to on the regular, or if I need to prepare for a gig coming up. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. I've been on the road. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
So where did you attend music school during your college years? I understand you were in St. Louis. And did you major in clarinet performance?
Unfortunate fact about a lot of jazz programs out there, they don't always allow you to do jazz performance on clarinet, because it's just not as popular as it used to be. No shade towards my professors there. He was wonderful. It was just, you had to sign up for usually a saxophone, and so I did saxophone performance. I was only there for 2 years because halfway through I got a touring offer that I took, so I never finished, but the head of the jazz department there was wonderful. His name was Paul DeMarinis, and he was very supportive of my trad jazz background and just very supportive of my playing in general. So he was a wonderful teacher.
So I understand that you also study with saxophonist Charles McPherson. Was that about the time?
No, that would have been about like high school age for me.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had went to middle school with his daughter, so that's how I knew him. And he was nice enough to let me come and do lessons. So I did that for at least a couple years, if not a little longer.
That's great. Now, you're such a fine improviser, and your vocal abilities are just great also. You've got the whole package. So who taught you jazz improvisation and vocal stylings?
Oh, for me, it's two separate things. As for jazz improv, it's definitely a collection of teachers, but also experience. I can't stress enough how like playing along with either a recording or your favorite band, if they allow you to sit in for a jazz group specifically, makes a huge difference in terms of just trying to play and learn the language and the music and all that stuff. So that came with definitely a combination of not only from Charles McPherson, but my old saxophone teacher, Keith Jacobson, and mentors like Ron Hockett. And then, but also like also just being able to sit in, there's a lot of trad jazz festivals around the country and swing festivals around the world. And I would just go and sit in with as many people as I could and ask a bunch of questions as often as I could and just got out there and tried to do it. And that also really adds to improv experience. As for jazz vocals, I mean, I didn't really study much. I had a couple lessons here and there. It's definitely not my strongest instrument for me personally. But I love vocal. Like I love vocals. Whenever I'm listening to music, I usually listen to something with vocals in it. So I for a long time just listened to a bunch of Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald and all the standards, all the greats, and just, you know, sang along with them or just had their phrasing in my head for so long that I was able to translate it to the music, to the vocals. And having the experience of playing jazz helps a lot, like playing an instrument and then doing vocals definitely was a good switch over instead of vice versa. Although they do encourage, I will say that being able to sing your style is extremely helpful for whatever instrument that you do, because it teaches you about phrasing, but also about breath. If you are a non-wind player, it teaches them about breath. It's also a great tool to have in your arsenal.
Absolutely. And I would like to piggyback on something you said earlier, which is a throwback to the early era of trad jazz and Dixieland. Depending upon where you were in the country, if you had a great jazz band land in town and play, you might not have had a record player or a radio, so you would sneak behind the concert hall or the bar, and you would have to rely on your memory of what the musicians were doing. You would then rush home to try and emulate and remember what they did. And it came from what you were talking about, listening and emulating.
Yeah, super important. Honestly, it's super important no matter what style you play.
Yes.
Like I said, play along to recordings. It's one of the best things you can do because that's how you know. You can hear yourself playing and adjust as you're playing with the recording. Obviously, live is the best, but it's not always the most accessible. So recordings are great.
So I read that you also lived in New Orleans for about 4 years and you worked as a freelance musician.
Yeah.
During your time there, did you ever perform with a piano player who was a vocalist by the name of Richard Piano Scott?
Yes. I have an album with him. I recorded on one of his albums. Yeah.
Did you play at Fritzl's?
I played at Fritzl's. Yeah, a whole bunch.
Well, as you know, I mean, he's just outstanding and he plays, I think at that time, 6 nights a week at Fritzl's bar.
Yeah.
That's on Bourbon Street. And then he would go downtown and get on the ferry and play for the dinners. Wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Tell me, how did you get hooked up with him? I mean, he must have loved the way you played.
Oh, he's such a sweet person. I really don't remember. A lot of the New Orleans scene is just you go and play with people. They call you, or a friend of a friend calls you for something. It's very laid back in a lot of ways, and very complicated in a lot of ways. But yeah, I really don't remember how we. I feel like I probably just sat in somewhere, and he remembered me, and then called me for a gig, and thus it began.
I just remember we were both admiring his talent and his vocal ability and how many songs he's memorized, but the strength of his hands and the stride left-hand piano. Oh, my God. I mean, how? There's not many people that can do that. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, for sure. There's quite a handful in the city that can do that, which is great. Like, and Richard is a great example of that. Because he's so powerful at it. He's so powerful. He can be heard over a crowded bar, and that's not something to shake your stick. Like, it's not something to, you know, to undermine, because that's hard to do. That's very hard to do.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you ever get a chance to see Tom McDermott?
I know of the name, yes.
We did a whole bunch together. We even have an album, a duo album out together. And it was great because we played at this place called Bufa's, and it was almost like a weekly thing. It was a weekly thing for him and almost a weekly thing for me. And we just played a whole bunch of different styles, and it was really great and really fun. And he's an integral part of the music scene out there.
You had a 3-year tour with music artist Pokey LaFarge. Mm-hmm. Share with my listeners who that gentleman is and what kind of group he has.
So he had, the group was called, well, I should guess by the time I got there, the group was called Pokey LaFarge. We've always had a trouble trying to define what his sound was, even as a group, but the closest we could get to is Western Swing. But he was a singer-songwriter that wrote a bunch of original music that we performed, but we also played some trad jazz tunes, and he liked the trad jazz element. So in true Western Swing style, like Bob Wills had horns as well. He added horns about, I don't know, 4 years into the band touring. So at least 3 or 4 years into the band touring. So me and the trumpet player, TJ Muller, came into the fray, and we did a whole bunch of things in 3 years. Yeah, we were signed on to Jack White's label for a while. So we did a bunch of stuff with Jack White / for his label. And so that was great. And, you know, we did a lot of stuff. We were on Letterman's show. We did Grand Ole Opry. We did the Garrison Keillor Prairie Home Companion a few times over. And just a bunch of things. That was the band that took me around the world for the first time. And that's the band I left college for. So it was well and truly worth it for me. It was a crazy, crazy, wonderful experience.
Let's talk about Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox. This is one of my favorite groups of all time.
Yeah.
So you were on tour with them, and you were featured on 3 big videos, which we'll talk about a little later on, Dancing With Myself by Billy Idol, No Surprises by Radiohead, and My Hero by the Foo Fighters. So share with my listeners who Scott Bradley is and what kind of music and show does the PMJ perform?
So Scott Bradley is a piano player who, back when he was living in a small apartment in New York, decided to do a Nickelback cover of a song. Like, he did a 4-part harmony Nickelback rendition of a song. I forgot which song, but it pretty much kickstarted, I think it got a bunch of hits on YouTube, and then they did Thrift Shop cover in a small jazz combo format, and that went wild. That just went crazy. So they just started this whole empire of doing basically pop songs in a older jazz cover style. And that is the definition of PMJ. We basically just do different takes on different pop songs. It's a pretty crazy thing that it's had, like, evolved into. And I didn't come in until a lot later, but I came in about 7 years, oh no, 6 years into their formation. I really can't remember, because they had started around the time that I was touring with Pokey. And I remember seeing PMJ. I was like, oh, that'd be fun. I'd love to do a video. And then lo and behold, it happened one day. It was actually because Gunhild Carling, who I know you've interviewed and who's just a force of nature in and of herself. She's incredible.
Yeah, that's right.
Performing with her is truly a wonderful and wild experience. You never know what's going to happen. It's hilarious. But we share a promoter from Argentina named Christian. He's wonderful. And he was showing Scott some of my YouTube videos while they were doing one of her videos for PMJ. And Christian's like, you got to reach out to Scott. And so I did. And that's how the first video, the Radiohead video, started. So, yeah, and that was back in late 2016. So, yeah, I started touring with them the January 2017. And I did that pretty off and on until the pandemic started in 2020. So they were my next touring group that I did a bunch of stuff with.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, how does Scott approach his arrangements for you? Scott's a magnificent arranger, piano player. He plays as if he was from the early traditional jazz and Dixieland era also. And his left hand is unbelievable, the way he has all this stride piano techniques. How does he approach the arrangements with you? Does he come up with a song, or you come up with a song and he sits down, here's the way you would approach it?
Yeah. So it depends on the video and depends on the situation, because sometimes he will have help from a wonderful musician and arranger named Jesse, and he was our music director for a long time, and he was also the ghost arranger for a long time.
Oh.
And yeah, so he helped arrange a lot of the live show stuff, and he helped arrange quite a few of the videos in that time as well. So it depends on the video that you're looking at. But a lot of times it is kind of a mutual effort, because Scott will do some stuff, and then, you know, I'll say oh, that sounds great. Or what if we introduce this? And then they're like, yeah, or no, you know, it's very much a mutual arranging between the two, him and whoever's being featured.
That's great. Well, thanks for letting me in on the inside scoop on that.
Yeah, no worries.
The other thing, in case any one of my listeners have never seen this, and I'm sure they're going to go listen and watch the videos, is it's not just music. I mean, there's choreography going on.
Yeah.
Comedy and everything else. And he finds out what your talents are and he exposes them.
And, it's true. And that's very true.
Everyone gets into it. So will you be on tour with them in the near future?
I'm actually not going to be touring as much as I used to, taking a little step back from the crazy tours. But I will be doing some stuff with them, just nothing too long. Yeah, I am. Since the pandemic, it's been a little harder to get back out onto the road. And I had done touring for quite a long time by that point, so I am not trying to, I'm not looking into doing a lot of the long touring anymore.
So you mentioned a former guest of mine, Gunhild Carling, who is dubbed as Sweden's Queen of Swing. And as you know, she's just an amazing force to be reckoned with. I mean, she can sing, tap dance, play all the brass, the woodwinds. Tell me about your association with her, because I saw recently that you were on stage playing with her, which is amazing. And I guess you did a recording session.
Yeah. So I've definitely done a few live shows with her by this point, I think. We did just do a recording session out here in LA, which is exciting. And she's planning on doing a big band session as well, which I'll be a part of. So that's fun. Later on in the year, I think. So I met Gunhild. I've always known about Gunhild because, I mean, it's Gunhild. She's a star in the trad jazz community. So everybody knows Gunhild, if you're, especially if you're in that world. So I'm like, I would love to meet this woman. She seems like a riot. And she is. She's amazing and hilarious. Very sweet lady. Definitely very dedicated to her craft.
Have you ever performed with her family band as well?
Yes. I've performed in many different configurations of the band. I don't know if I've met every single one of the family members. I don't think so, but definitely different configurations of the family band. And, so we first met in, there's a swing dance called the Busan Swing Festival in South Korea that we were both a part of. I was there with a wonderful vocalist called Mashiya Lake and the Little Big Horns. I was subbing in that band for that event, and Gunhild was there with her niece, Nonna. I think that's how you say her name correctly, Nonna. And so her and Nonna were there playing with a local band from Korea. And I met them. And let me tell you, they, between Mishia and Gunhild and Nonna, they brought the house down every single night. That's for sure. It was a trip.
You are also an artist endorser for SYOS. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
SYOS, I think.
Yeah.
I always pronounce it as SYOS, a shape your own sound. And yes, they've been kind enough to, I've been able to have a clarinet mouthpiece through them.
I've seen the mouthpieces around. It's a company that provides both a signature collection and custom mouthpieces. And they have these really cool various colors to choose from. And they have accessories also. What do you like about them?
So I love the fact that the creator, Pauline, not only is it a woman-owned business, which is wonderful, and I love supporting that, but also, I mean, she works with the musician. She studied the engineering side of music, basically, like the engineering side of instruments and stuff. So she loves working with each musician and like going, like she will make sure that it's what you would like and what you want out of your mouthpiece. And I've always played on a Van Doren and 13 lyre, and I just wanted something as close to that as I could because I just love the sound of that. And she did, and we got there, and it's great. I love Pauline, and I love that whole company. They're very nice and very sweet.
So. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, you and I have something in common a little bit. You were working on these different colored mouthpieces, which are really cool, and they have colored ligatures too. I was also an artist endorser years ago for a company that made colorized horns. I don't know if you know of this, called LA Sax.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
They were really popular back when, way before your time, and they made different colored saxophones, trumpets, trombones. And I just noticed on the roster for your mouthpiece company that there's another LA Sax artist that I was in promotional advertisements with. Are you familiar with tenor saxophonist Joe Lovano?
I don't know him, but I am familiar with the name.
He was with Woody Herman's band, you know, the big band for many years. He was a professor at Berklee College of Music, where I went to. And I see that he's endorsing the line of saxophone mouthpieces there.
Oh, great. As he should, yeah.
If you ever get a chance, go listen to his stuff. And this is funny. I think you'll appreciate this. The same company with the colorized horns, they called Joe, myself, and a couple of the other artists and said, we're coming out with a line of straight alto saxophones and straight tenor saxophones.
Wow.
Yeah, so they sent both of us, straight alto and tenor, and I played the straight alto on a couple of gigs. I couldn't do the straight tenor because I'm only 5'5", but...
Yeah, oh my gosh, that's huge.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, the acoustical properties are different. There's a picture of him. I'll have to see if I can find it and send it to you in my archives, but there's a picture of him playing the straight tenor and recording it on one of the promotional CDs we did for LA Sax. So yeah, check his playing out. He's one of the top, you know, tenor players from that era. I think you would appreciate it.
Great, I will.
Let's have you pick two different musical selections that you've recorded that you feel best represents what you do as a clarinetist / vocalist that I could filter into this interview as you speak about them now.
The first one is from a wonderful group that I am a part of. I'm a big part of, called Shake 'Em Up Jazz Band. And we are an all-women traditional jazz group that is based in New Orleans. It is from the time that I used to live in New Orleans. I don't live there anymore, but I still love them very much. And I still perform with them as often as I can. And we're about to go to Umbria Jazz Festival in Italy for the third time. And we're very excited to do that. And we're going to be playing at the French Quarter Fest as well this year in New Orleans. And so I try and join them for like their big events and their events out of town and things. Anyway, this is from a wonderful album that we did dedicated to women composers of the era and women composers that didn't always get their time to shine. And or people didn't know that a woman composed that song. So we did a dedicated album towards that called A Woman's Place. And this is the first track off of that album called Traveling Blues. And the second selection is my favorite Postmodern Jukebox video that I've been featured on. And fun fact about this one, Billy Idol actually saw it and he posted it on his account. And for me, that made my whole day because,
wow.
Yeah, he actually saw it. And of all the three that I've done, like, I've loved Billy Idol my whole life and his music and just, you know, his whole presence. And he's such a great performer. I got to see him live once.
Really?
It was a joy. Yeah, he was playing at a festival that I was playing at, and we got to see him from backstage, and it was a great show. And so I was just very happy and happy that he got to see it. And like with this one, I get to do a bunch of everything. I dance in it, I sing in it, I play clarinet in it. And it was my favorite one to do. It was in this beautiful like mansion somewhere in LA. And we were able to film it in black and white, and it was very much like Rosemary Clooney in White Christmas,
right?
Vibes.
Uh-huh.
That's
wow.
That's where in my head I was going. Not as elaborate of a dress as she had, but anyway, in my head, like it, of the old era, and it was such a fun shoot and such a fun style. So this is my favorite video from that time. So this is called Dancing with Myself by Billy Idol.
From the floors of Tokyo, down in London town, Zococo, with the record selection and the mirror's reflection, I'm dancing with myself when there's no one else inside. In a crowded, lonely night, while I wait so long for my love vibration, I'm dancing with myself. Oh, 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 dancing with myself. I'm dancing with myself. And there's nothing to lose, and there's nothing to prove. I'm dancing with myself. Oh, oh, oh.
I remember that video, but that one in particular, I was laughing when you put the hat, the top hat, on the clarinet. And now as a clarinetist, I'm going, oh, you're gonna rip your reed. What are you doing?
Okay, so there's what you don't see, I promise you, it's the first thing I thought about. What you don't see is that there's a mouthpiece cap glued into the top hat.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, nope, there's a mouthpiece cap glued into there. And I made sure that reed wasn't going to rip because I didn't want to go through like 10 reeds.
That's ingenious. So is that your idea?
Yeah, it was a combo. It was a combo of whoever was there. We're like, we got to figure this out.
And I think I had a mouthpiece cap and like, why don't we just glue it in? Yeah, it was a mix of just figuring it out there. But
oh
yeah.
man, that's a great story because I'm looking at the way you carefully took the hat and put it on top, and I'm going, she knows she might rip it.
Yeah.
And I'm going,
no.
And now she's dancing. Oh my God, is it going to be playable? What's going on?
It was. I promised. It was safe for the read. It was read first. It wasn't going to happen if we couldn't do it. So.
You fooled me and you fooled everyone else. Oh, that's great. That's a great story.
Thank you.
So, do you have any upcoming live performances or projects you'd like to announce?
I'm playing with the Shake 'Em Up Jazz Band at the French Quarter Festival in New Orleans. I'll also be playing with the Devo Orchestra for the first time in Idaho for the Lionel Hampton Festival. And then I will be joining PMJ in Florida for a couple dates in April.
Oh, wow. I think
April 18th or 19th. I'm doing a little sub thing for someone.
Where can my listeners find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram and Facebook. On Instagram, I'm ChloeJazz3. Also, I believe it's the same for Facebook, or you can just find me Chloe Fiorenzo. I do have a website as well. I do have a Twitter, but I really don't use it very much. Instagram is my go-to. So, yeah, that's where you can find me.
And where can my listeners find and purchase your music?
I do have a quartet album. One of the songs, which is from that album, was featured in the beginning of the show. It's on Bandcamp, and it's just an EP, so you can find it there. I think some of my stuff is on Spotify, and all of the Shake 'Em Up jazz band stuff is on Bandcamp as well. So it's online. All you got to do is Google some names. You'll find it.
I've been following you for some time now. I love the way you play. You've got tremendous chops.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time. I really had a great time interviewing you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I feel very honored.
My pleasure. Chloe, have a great day. I hope to speak to you real soon.
Likewise.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for joining me on today's show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation and could hear why my guest got chops. You can follow my podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or Anchor.fm, and stay connected between episodes on Instagram at GotChopsPodcast. Join me on the next episode when we discover why my next guest got chops.